Now, the rest of the story. Do you believe in sea monsters? I mean great big sea monsters who roam the ocean searching for men to eat and ships to sink. Well, I once had my own doubts. But skeptics, please reserve your skepticism until after you've heard the rest of the story. Once upon a time, this was more than 100 years ago, there was a gigantic, hideous, murderous monster who lived beneath the waves. By the early 1830s, reports of sightings and fatal encounters were frequent throughout the Pacific Ocean. It is impossible to determine how many vessels ambiguously labeled lost had in fact been sunk or eaten by the sea monster. There must have been many, however, considering the horror stories of the fortunate who lived to tell. On July 5, 1840, for example, the sea monster rose from the depths of the Pacific, 215 miles west of Valparaiso, Chile. An English vessel, the Desmond, was cruising nearby. The ship's captain ordered two boats lowered and sent them off to investigate. The sea monster, listen to this, the sea monster crushed the first boat and ate the second boat, and two crew members died. Now it's 2 months later, and 500 miles to the south, the sea monster similarly menaced a Russian ship. And 8 months after that, in the Atlantic Ocean, not far from the Falkland Islands, another British vessel was hit. Four seamen lost their lives that time. For 17 months, nothing. Rumors spread that the demon of the deep had at last returned to the hell from whence it came, but then, without warning, off the coast of Japan, the dreaded monster struck again. Its first victim in those waters was a big cargo vessel bearing lumber. The ship had been blown off course. The crew sighted the creature 2 miles distant, watched terrified as it came after them. The best guess is it was traveling about 30 miles an hour. No way the vessel could escape. Minutes later, fragments of it and its cargo were flying everywhere. The behemoth was still chewing on the wreckage when three other ships sailed by. Foolishly, the three captains decided to team up and capture the sea monster. The latter, somehow perceiving their plans, played dead in the water to lure the ships closer, and then suddenly the creature attacked. In the rampage, vessels were crushed and eaten, men were devoured and drowned. The reign of terror lasted until August of 1859, when a Swedish vessel prowling the Brazilian coast ran down and killed the notorious sea monster, and mysteriously it offered no struggle. The crew took careful measurements. Its lower jaw was 26 feet deep. Its body was 100 feet long. It had sunk so many ships, had killed so many men, and yet today we might regard it not as a destructive devil wreaking aimless havoc, but as an avenging angel seeking calculated retribution for the crimes of men against its kind. Historians have no trouble tracing each incident to the same individual sea monster. There was positive identification by the victims who survived. First, the creature's extraordinary size, next, the 8-foot scar across its massive head, and one thing more, it was white. I mean, white as wool. And did I mention that during those seasons, when that awesome beast haunted the seas, there was a young harpooner aboard the Acushnet in the South Pacific, a young fellow named Herman Melville, through whom the frightening reality one day would be transformed into an epic legend. He immortalized the great white one-of-a-kind whale. He called it Moby Dick, and you thought it was fiction. Only now you know the rest of the story.